I'm just going to tell you, it just may be crazy tonight. Yes, because I would rather preach on just about anything other than what we're going to preach on tonight. I'd rather preach on circumcision than what we're going to preach on tonight. And in some, I don't know. And in some ways, I might as well preach on welding tonight. Because it would be fair for somebody to say, as I'm speaking about welding, "So are you a good welder?" And I would have to say, "No, I'm horrible at welding." And you would say, "Then why are you preaching on it?" Because tonight we're going to talk about marriage. Yeah, you're supposed to make the humorous connection right there. Welding, never mind. So, I don't even know what she said. I just wish she'd leave. But anyway, I want us to pray tonight because, I mean, I think where so many of us are, this is one of the weightiest passages in Colossians. It deals with marriage, it deals with parenting, it deals with employee-employer relationships. It deals with a lot that's just really tough. And so these are always, you know, the toughest sermons to preach, you know, for me to talk about marriage. And I'll never forget years ago when I went home and told my wife, I said, "Hey, guess what?" She said, "What?" I said, we're going to go on the church marriage retreat. And she's like, "Oh, that'd be so great. We've never been to a marriage retreat. This will be fantastic." She goes, "Do you know who's speaking?" And I was like, "Well, I am." And she goes, "What are you going to say about marriage?" And I said, "It depends if you're there. If you're not there, I have a lot to say. If you are there, I have just a little bit." So to her incredible disappointment, we've never been to a marriage retreat that somebody else has led. So, you know, there are those moments when people are laughing and she's like going, "Woo!" She's like, I forget that which movie it is, The Princess Bride. My wife's in the back going, "Liar! Liar!" And I just say, "Shut up, woman!" I didn't say that. I embellished that part of the story. So let's pray. Yeah. Let's pray hard. Father, we come to you. And Lord, this passage applies to every one of us. You know, for those of us who are married, for those who will get married one day, for those who have children, for those who will have them one day. Lord, in our relationships, in the jobs that you've given us. And Lord, my biggest prayer tonight is that we not miss the message because of the messenger. And so, Lord, I pray that you speak boldly and powerfully to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let me start off reading this. This is one of my favorite passages in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse 27. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. There's a lot of people not saying anything, but they're looking at me going, "You preach it. You preach." But I don't want to begin in Colossians there, because only slightly better than 1 Corinthians 7 is this. Abraham was about to die. He sent his servants out to look for a wife for his son, Isaac. And so they go. Mind you, Isaac isn't there. Can you imagine living in those times when somebody brings in that woman to the house and says, here's your wife. For some, it would feel like winning the lottery. Yes. Woo. And others would be like, Lord Jesus. And all of you have been in one place or the other. But most of you have been in one place and then got to the other, right? This is what's said. And this is so powerful. This is in Genesis 24, verse 67. Actually, let me skip up a little bit. Let's just go with 67. So they just have brought her to Isaac, and this is what happens. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I think that is so powerful. Because most of us look at loving our spouse based on what they do for us, how they serve us, you know, whatever their good qualities might be, you know, because Isaac didn't marry her because she was a good cook, because at this point, she hadn't even cooked. He didn't marry her because she was great looking. She might have been, we don't know. But she just walked into his life. The Bible just says that she became his wife and he loved her. So let me ask you, why did he love her? This will be interactive tonight, where I'll ask various questions and you answer. The Bible just told us, why did he love her? Because, wow, there were so many answers. I think most of them are wrong. But I did hear someone say, because she was his wife. And guess what husbands are supposed to do? Love, not just, you know what? Lord, miss the church lady over there. Just so simple. She became his wife and he loved her because that's what husbands should do. And granted, ladies, I know it doesn't sound romantic. If somebody came up to me and said, hey, so why do you love her? And I said, because she's my wife. I mean, I know that doesn't sound great, okay? I know you're probably, are there other reasons? But this is why a husband loves his wife, because she is his wife. It's a powerful thing. So let's start. And I may only, we're in Colossians chapter 3, and I may only go with verse 18 tonight. I haven't decided. You're laughing because you have your Bible open and you already know what verse 18 says. Wives, submit to your husbands. There's a great place for an amen, guys. Amen. Amen. A real man doesn't say amen. He says amen. Amen. And some woman sitting there going, do I have to love him because he's my husband? Doesn't say that, does it? But it does say this, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Now, we don't talk like that a whole lot anymore, you know, because I would tell my son, hey, I want you to go out and mow the yard as that is fitting to your father. What am I saying? This isn't you. I have no idea what that response means. As is fitting to the Lord, as is pleasing to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord, as is pleasing to the Lord. Now, this idea of submission, because already you should see the looks I'm getting right now from the ladies all across the room. Submission is a powerful thing. God doesn't command submission because the husband is smarter. Ladies, great place for an amen. It's not because the husband's smarter. It's not because he's more capable. It's none of those things. The Lord says, submit to your husband because it pleases the Lord. This idea of submission does not come out of how God values the husband or the wife. Does everybody understand that? this idea of submission is not based on value, that the husband is more valuable than the wife. I think it, you know, obviously I think the value is equal, but if, I think if you could make any case, it's that the wife is more valuable than the husband. You can say amen, but you're wrong. I'm just saying you'd have a better case to argue that way, because husband and wives are equal in value in the eyes of God. This says, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, let me tell you what this means, okay? Because it inevitably, I have a couple in my office, and it's one of two things. It's the man saying, no, her, she don't submit to me never. I don't know why I'm talking like that. It's the guy that's in my mind. Well, it was Keith last week. You know, but that man's like, she don't ever submit to me. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, help me out here. You give me an example. Well, I want to get a new truck. And I can't do it without her credit score. And she won't submit. That is not what the Bible's talking about at all. In no way does the wife submitting to the husband, does that make him the boss of everything? Does everybody understand that? Now listen, I'm already prepared that I'm going to offend almost everybody in the room. I understand that, and that's fine. We'll roll with that. But marriages are so messed up because we don't understand why God has said these things. And so there's the man in my office, and he just wants her to submit to whatever he wants. And that's part of the problem. He wants her to submit to whatever he wants. And according to the Bible, it doesn't matter what he wants. It matters what God wants. The Bible is very specific that the husband is to be the spiritual head of the household. That means nothing about trucks. Some of you are laughing. Some of you are agreeing. Some of you are like, I don't know. I knew we should have went to the movies tonight. He's the spiritual head of the house. Do you know what that means? That means that man has to answer to God for all things spiritual in his house. He is in charge of that. God has made him the spiritual head of the house. Nowhere does it say he's the head of the house. It doesn't say that anywhere. And most men, like the guy wanting a truck, that's what he says. Now, I don't want to pull out the Bible on your preacher, but it says I'm the head of the house. And I'm like, really? Well, show me that. Well, I know it's in there somewhere. But it doesn't say that. It says the husband is the spiritual head of the house. And that means this: whether or not your children are in church, hear the word of God, the mother is not accountable for that. The father is. That is the role. That is the position God has given him to be the spiritual head of that house. Now listen to me. My wife knows the Bible better than I do. She teaches it better than I do. She probably prays with our children more than I do. But I'm accountable for that. God uses what she does, okay? Does everybody get me? See, I'm sitting here thinking of 1,000 things you all could just be mad about that I didn't even say. So God has poured incredibly rich spiritual things into my children through my wife. But I'm accountable. As a spiritual head of my house, I'm accountable for what happens in my house spiritually. I'm not accountable for whether or not we have a new truck. I'm not accountable for whether we have upgraded cable, which I love. Those aren't the things I'm accountable for. I'm accountable for all things spiritual in my house. All things spiritual. When we gather to pray as a family, whose job, whose position, whose role is it to lead my family in prayer? It is mine. Does that mean my wife can't? Absolutely not. But it means I'm responsible for that. I am accountable to that, that my kids hear the word of God somewhere other than church, that they hear it, that it's present, it's living in our home. I'm responsible for that. Gosh, I'm talking about, I haven't even got to that, to the next verse yet, have I? We're still on submit, aren't we? Getting ahead of myself. So that's one case. If you won't submit, I want my truck. You got that. The other is some guy that sheepishly walks in behind his wife. And she's like, sit down right there. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Man, if you call your wife ma'am, you don't have a good marriage. I'm just going to tell you that right now. All right? And if my wife was here, I'd say, yes, ma'am. Right? And then this lady's talking 1,000 miles a minute. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says he's supposed to be spiritual head of the household, and I can't get him to do nothing. He won't mow the yard. I can't get him to do this. I can't get him to do this. And then I'm like, whoa. What do you think it means that he's to be the spiritual head of the house? And she thinks it means that he's supposed to do everything that she wants him to do, that she deems spiritual. Those are always the two scenarios that I typically am dealing with in my office, right? The guy who thinks he's the boss of everything, or the woman who is the boss of everything, right? And I'll ask that man. This never fails. I'll ask that man, sir, what do you think it means to be the spiritual head of your house? And he looks at her like, I've been trapped like this before. It's like, I've been to that rodeo and I ain't going to be the clown again, you know? And he doesn't know what to say. And he just gets ready to say something. She goes, I'll tell you what he thinks because he told you nothing. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Here's what you need to know about that. It pleases the Lord that you would submit to your husband in all things spiritual. That he would, you know, and it's, what's the word I'm looking for, Pastor Jeff? Counterintuitive, something, there's some great word that Jeff knows that I don't, that's weird about saying to women, let your husband be the spiritual head of the house. Because do you all hear how weird that sounds? Okay, maybe it's just me. Allow him to lead spiritually. Allow him to. 9 out of 10 men that I meet with in my office, they don't pray with their wife. They don't pray with their children. They're not leading spiritually. And I'll have wives say, what do I do? How do I get him to lead spiritually? And it's a great question. And this is what I really encourage women in that situation to do. You know, one night, just call in the children, right? That takes us about 45 minutes. Call in the children, get them to sit down, and you can get your husband in there to sit down and just say, hey, kids, we're just going to pray together as a family tonight, and Daddy's going to lead us. And don't look up until Daddy does or Daddy says no. Because sometimes he'll say no, or maybe a lot of times, because I'm going to tell you, if you're not used to doing that, it's awkward. You know why it's hard for me to pray with my children? Especially at night. Because, I mean, that's about the only time we're together, is at night as a family, right? You know what's hard? You know why it's hard, guys, to pray with our children? Because we've been a jerk to our wife. We've lost our anger with our kids. And the last thing you want to do is pray. Because you feel like a loser? Wow. Stronger words than I was anticipating. I mean, you just kind of feel like a hypocrite, right? I mean, you come home, like, where's my food? You know, and you've broken toys and you've thrown a fit, you know, and it just doesn't feel like, man, all right, so now we're going to pray. Can I just tell you something? If that's a night that you have tonight when you go home, pray anyway. Because you know what I almost always have to do before I pray with those kids? I typically have to apologize to somebody because my heart's just not right. And to lead like that, men, you have to lead with humility. And you can't act like that. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Why would the Bible say this? Of all the things the Bible could say, why does it say right here? Why does Paul write, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them? Why does the Bible say that? Because God knows that for a lot of us men, our default mode is just to be harsh. Most of us lack the ability to be rational, right? Seems like at times. We just go straight to anger. We're mad. We're upset. We don't know what's going on, right? I remember one morning I got up and I go to the sink and I turn on the water and the little hand sprayer just soaks me. And the kids are all at the table cracking up. And it took me a good 2 minutes to figure out just to turn it off. Because I'm like going, oh, gosh. You know? And finally, one of them's like, turn it off, Daddy. And I mean, I just got water. You know, and I'm so mad because I see tape around the handle. This wasn't a malfunction. This was intentional. And I mean, just immediately, I'm like, I've had it. I'm getting ready to go to work. I've got a hard job, you know, and all this stuff and how hard my life is and how hard it's been for 41 years and now this. And what was supposed to be just a funny little thing, the kids are just at the table. And they're all deciding which one's going to be the sacrificial lamb. And then finally, the littlest one just says, Daddy, it was just supposed to be a joke because you like jokes. And I've acted like a jerk. And I'm soaked. And I only had one clean shirt. Now I've got to wear my tank top to church. Right? And I just have to apologize to the kids. You know why they did it? It was April 1st. And that's usually a big fun time at our house. It's one of our favorite holidays is April Fool's Day. Because you can just lie all day and it's okay. And so I just sit down and say, guys, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got so mad, you know. And they said, we'll take the tape off. And I said, no, your mom will be in a minute. Husbands, love your wives. My wife isn't here tonight. I'm so glad. And if you know her, keep your mouth shut. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. I mean, the Bible is drilling us right here. Don't be harsh with them. I mean, it's like God saying, I know you, and you can be harsh. And I'm telling you, love her. Don't be harsh to her. Don't be like that. Because I'm going to tell you, there's typically a reason why a Christian wife won't submit to her husband. And it's because he's harsh. He's mean. He's angry. Right? He's not leading spiritually. And really, even though this all starts with wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord, notice he doesn't go back to the wives. I mean, this whole passage is about the husband. It really is. I mean, when you read this, Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then verse 21, it starts off, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And I'm just thinking, well, what about the mothers? But it goes back to the fathers again. Now, I've prayed today that tonight, man, it would just, God's Spirit would just fall tonight. And I prayed specifically that God's Spirit would just fall on us men tonight and break our hearts where our hearts have not been broken. And that like Isaac, we would look at our wives and there would be a love that is there because she's our wife. Right? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love keeps no record of, say it together, love keeps no record of wrongs. Now, you know that was mainly written to the women, right? But we keep a list too, don't we, guys? And typically the difference in the list is the wife will readily communicate the record of our wrongs, and we just keep it inside. Oh, but we're still keeping count. We know the score. Well, no, we don't, because we think we just did a couple of bad things. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. I tell couples all the time, you know, because I think especially in our culture, I mean, and I'm talking about Christians. I'm not even talking about people that aren't Christians. I'm talking about Christians. We come incredibly close to idolatry when it comes to our children. Incredibly close. Because if you're here tonight and you're married and you have children, your children come in third place. Does everybody understand that? They are third. I've had some people try to make the case. No, now the children, they're first because they can't take care of themselves. Well, they don't need you to take care of them. God will take care of them. And so, ladies, your first priority is Jesus. He's your first priority. Your husband is not your first priority, but I would contend that he's your second. He's your second priority. Likewise, men, your first priority is Jesus, not your job. Some of you bristled. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? This means yes. You remember the Garden of Eden? I know you weren't there, but have you read about it? You may have been there. I'm not sure. You remember in the garden, right? Eve eats the apple. And Adam does what? He sheepishly follows behind her. So here's an apple God told us not to eat. It's good. Here, take a bite. Okay. He probably didn't even like it. And he's like, oh, good. You want me to take another one? That's how I imagine Adam, right? But do you remember the curse? What was the curse for the man? Yes, that he would have to work, that he would toil, right? That he would work. That didn't just mean that he'd now have to have a job. And so having a job is a curse. It means this. That the propensity of his heart is that he would put his work before his family. Right? That's what that means. I mean, that's what that curse was all about for the man. And when most men meet at some point, I mean, what do men say to each other that just meet most of the time? Hey, so what do you do? I mean, how many of you guys ever had a guy came up to you and said, man, so tell me, how lovely is your wife? Because you might be like, I'll tell you, well, you don't need to be worrying about my wife. You know, or how many men do you meet and say, man, well, how lovely are your children? how beautiful is your family? I mean, I've never in my life have heard that kind of introduction, right? And you'd wonder about a guy who asked that anyway, wouldn't you, honestly? But that's not the problem. The problem is that usually men are like, so what do you do? You know why men put such, typically, let me phrase that. You know why men typically focus on what they do? Because the only pride they can really have is in their work. They can't talk about what a great husband they are, because they're not. They can't talk about what a great father they are, because they're not. And so they want to talk about something they're good at. So it's their job or cornhole, right? I don't know why I was thinking of cornhole. You know the game. I'm talking about a game. Okay, thank you for clarifying. That's why that phenomenon takes place, right? Because you get a bunch of women together, and what are they talking about? They're talking about children, but I tell you, a lot of times women are talking about their husbands too. Because ladies, bless your hearts. I mean, no matter what kind of bum he is, you're still just like, well, you know, he's a hardworking man, and you know, we're lucky to have him. Fortunately, he's working night shift tonight, so we'll have a little peace tonight. Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about? But guys, the reason the Bible says this is not because, hey, this is just a good thing to go by. The Bible says this because it's a problem. That's why the Bible says this. Can wives be harsh? Wow, the men are so quiet, like, I ain't even going there. Can wives be harsh? Well, why doesn't it say wives don't be harsh? Because it's not typically the problem, right? To help me out. Are we in agreement? That's not typically the problem. I know some of you guys are thinking, you man, you don't even know. Lord Jesus, help me. But typically, don't you agree that wives, typically their issue isn't that they're harsh? The Bible says this because, guys, that is our default mode, is to be harsh. That's why he says one verse for the wife, one verse for the children, which I think is way out of line. There ought to be a whole bunch more there for the kids, right? Thank you. So wives, husbands, children, fathers. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. I think I told you guys a couple weeks ago that if I was like just now having my kids, I would be such a better father. Man, I'd be such a better father. I mean, this poor 14-year-old kid who just like is like, how's dad today? Oh, stay out of the living room. Don't go near the recliner. Okay. Gosh, I'd have been a better father for him. You know, I have a little bit more patience now. And since my wife's not here, I'll tell you, I have a little more wisdom now, right? Man, I'd been a better father if I just started having kids now. Gosh, it would have been better. Because I know I've discouraged my children. I know I have. And I think, when I think about it, it's painful. I have been harsh. I've been hard to live with. You know, my wife, sometimes, I mean, she doesn't know what to say except, you know, gosh, you know, would you ever just be happy? You know? Man, guys, that is a sad thing. That's a sad thing. And I find it so interesting as we're going through this book, and it's common for Paul to kind of address family issues. And when Paul addresses these family issues, he's usually pretty tough on the husbands. He's usually pretty tough on the fathers. And so, guys, we have to deal with this issue. We have to. And I know some of you are like, man, I thought you were going to talk about women submitting. And honestly, I mean, there is a whole sermon there too. But there's got to be something to submit to, doesn't there? Because the Bible is telling the wives to submit to spiritual leadership. And it's 7:28. I mean, I need another hour. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. If the only place your kids are hearing the word of God is here, you are failing as a father. You're failing. And I don't care if it's tonight, but I would start some new traditions in my house. And I would gather my family together and I would read the Bible to them. And I know some of you are thinking, come on, really? Yes. The Bible says that the word doesn't return void. And that means every bit of the word that we pour into those kids, that'll be what God uses to get them through the really difficult times of life. Man, if the word is a part of our lives, guys, and our children see that, right? I mean, are they going to remember you with the Bible in your hand or with the remote? Because I'm not sure what it'll be for my kids. I would start some new traditions. Man, I would begin to pray with those kids. I take my son to school every morning, and every morning I pray with him. I don't know what he thinks about it, right? Because while I'm driving, I lean over because I'm touchy-feely, and I just put my hand on his shoulder, and I say, Lord, help Sam to have a great day today. Help him to understand what is being taught. Help him to listen, to pay attention. Give him a chance to encourage somebody today. Give him a chance to be your light to somebody today. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. And I've been doing that now for 2 years that I've been driving him to school in the morning. And he never says anything. I don't know what he thinks about. I've never asked him what he thinks about it. I personally don't care what he thinks about it. I just do that, right? Why? Because that is a good thing. I want him to know that when I rely on my strength and my wisdom, I fail. And when I rely on God, God always comes through. May I pray tonight for marriages. I pray for future marriages. I pray tonight that some relationships that aren't in marriage right now, I pray that they would end tonight. And save you a lifetime of heartache, right? Because I'm going to tell you, you know quickly whether or not that woman is going to be a woman of God or that man is going to be a man of God. And if right now they're not on that track, that means you're with them hoping they'll change. And that's the worst way to get married, is to get married hoping they'll change. Because guess what generally is the case? They don't. I pray for marriages to be strengthened tonight. I pray for fathers that will just really step it up. That your children will hear you pray. They will hear you read the Bible. Please let me tell you now, and if your kids are little, let me tell you now. Oh, just do it now. If it feels weird, if it feels awkward, just do it now. Just start doing it now. Let them remember that about you, that you were a man of the word, that you were a man of God. Be the spiritual leader that your wife desires, because I'm going to tell you, in 99% of Christian marriages, that is what the wife desires. It's for her husband to be the spiritual leader of the house. That is what she desires. Oh, that you would be that. Father, we come to you. And Lord, it's only because of the cross and resurrection. It's only because of what you've done. Your blood was shed that we can even talk about what it means to have a Christian home. Lord, I pray for the children that are represented by the parents in this room. Lord, you made every one of these children. You know the plans that you have for them, plans to prosper them, not to harm them, plans to give them a hope and a future. Lord Jesus, I pray for those children. Lord, I pray for their fathers, that they would be men of the word, that they would be men of God. Lord, I pray that tonight we'll begin a new tradition in some homes where that father takes the word and he reads it and then he prays. And together mom and dad pray over those children. And they begin to pray for the things, Lord, that you desire to see in those children. I pray for marriages to be healed. I pray for men, Lord, that you deliver them from anger, from being harsh. Father, break us like pencils if we won't be the men that you want us to be. Oh, Lord, I pray for healing tonight. I pray that you heal marriages tonight. I pray that you birth hope in marriages that are struggling. Oh, Lord, may we be the husbands and the wives, the mothers and the fathers that you've called us to be. We love you, Jesus. Hey, y'all, look up. This altar is open tonight. And men, this is maybe the best night of your life to take that wife's hand and to walk her to this altar and to pray with her, even if it's the first time. Let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.